Welcome back. Hope everybody enjoyed their summer. This is, I guess, the kickoff to the 2015 fall portion of this season. As we get into it, we talk about the season began a long time ago, but really the excitement right now is we're 27 days away from putting the ball on the tee and kicking off the 2015 season. With today being reporting date, it's finally here. A day we've long waited for as coaches, as players, as fans, administrators, everybody. This is kind of the start of it all. So I know there's a lot of excitement and a lot of energy with this camp, with it being 27 days away. The summer, just going backwards, I got to compliment Kurt Hester and his staff on the unbelievable job they've done with this football team, really over the last probably about 4 months since we left spring practice. Because when we left spring practice, the coaches went on the road, then we were on the camp circuit, then I try and get everybody out of here for a little vacation. And what Kurt Hester and his staff has done with this team, when you look at the numbers, the weight, the strength gains that some of these guys are making right now, it's really exciting. We've said that in order really to judge this season, the key is not going to be the 22 starters. The key are going to be the 22 backups. And when you look at the strides that guys have made, maybe that people haven't heard a lot of at this point, but are going to know a whole lot more of at the end of this season, I think Kurt and his staff have done an incredible job. And I'd also like to compliment the players. When you look at this heat and the work that they've put into it, where everybody else is kind of on vacation at the beach and everything else, they're out here running, lifting, doing their own pass scale, throwing the ball. They've made an unbelievable commitment, and it really shows with what some of these guys have done. They have worked hard on the field. They've worked hard changing their bodies. We had a great spring academically. We had a really good summer academically with a lot of guys really making some strides, not just quote to get eligible, but making strides towards graduation. I know this summer we just had Andy McElinden and Jens Danielson just graduated, which congratulations to both of them, and I know there's a couple more that kind of took another step in that direction and getting closer to it this summer. The schedule, kind of what we're going to do from here, we had reporting day is today. We've got team meeting, we've got a team photo, we've got administrative meetings, a lot of housekeeping things that we got to take care of today, and then tomorrow we'll really kick it off. Tomorrow is our first day. We will have our conditioning test at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then originally when we put this schedule together, we were going to practice at 3:30 in the afternoon. But obviously when I looked at the weather channel with the heat index at about 115 degrees, I don't think we're going to be moving practice around a lot. So as I told the players, it's going to be kind of keep your knees bent and stay flexible because things are going to change. We'll probably have to go a little bit more at night. We'll kind of split that up on the grass and then maybe bring the second part when the sun goes down into the stadium where we get better film and lighting down here on the field. So we're going to have to be moving it around a little bit, but we've got 4 2-a-days scheduled during this camp. We got 4 2-a-days, and then obviously the number of 1-a-days will be going the next 5 days. Monday and Tuesday will be in shorts. Wednesday and Thursday will be in shells. Friday will be our first official day in full pads, and Saturday will be our first 2-a-day. We will have 2 scrimmages. We will have one August 22nd on Saturday, then one Friday, August 28th, will be our 2 full scrimmages that will be devoted to just scrimmages. There will be a number of other controlled scrimmages that we'll have throughout practice, but those days will be dedicated to pretty much just scrimmage only. For the next 3 weeks, we've got really 4 main goals of what we have to try and get done. One, we've got to get this depth chart settled. We came out of spring practice, and we use a depth chart that's got holes in it where there's openings, and we've got some solidified starters when you look at guys like Kentrell Bryce and Xavier Woods and Kenneth Dixon and Trent Taylor and some guys that have really solidified those positions. But as I said, I think the key to this season is going to be who's number two, because these guys that are number two are going to be one snap away from being our starter. And so I think it's really going to be critical for this camp that we develop our depth chart. I think that's one of the main goals and objectives we have, is to develop depth on this football team as we get into this camp. And that means depth is going to come in the shapes of maybe freshmen that redshirted last year, Maybe a true freshman that comes in here who's ready to play. And there's some other guys that have worked their way that are getting better and better and starting to work their way closer and closer to a starting role for us. So that's going to be first and foremost is establishing the depth chart as we go through this. Number two is going to be develop our dirty dozen. When you look at our football team last year, we made huge strides on offense and defense, scoring points on offense, creating turnovers, getting stops on defense. But the one area where we can really make huge strides as a football team this year is going to be in the special teams. And that's where I think we've got to make the most significant work. When you look at what we call the big four, punt return, kickoff return, I don't think we were in the top half of any of those in the conference. And that is an area that we are making a huge stride towards from an improvement. We've got to polish some things. Our third goal is to make sure that we can get our offense and defense kind of playing at a high level early again, which I'll talk about in a second. But just try and garner the Houston Bates and Cody Sokols and who's going to step into those roles for us. And so I think we've got to be able to polish up where we are as an offense and defense. And the fourth thing, and I talk about all the time, is the melting pot is developing a team. We got to bring this team together. I think 30% of this football team is new. There's going to be over 30 new faces in that team meeting. And so there are a lot of guys going through this for the very first time, and we've got to bring everybody together playing as one common unit, as kind of one heartbeat, one goal with what we're trying to do. And so those are kind of the four main goals that we have over the next really 3 weeks, because our camp is going to be 3 weeks long before we get into the season, as we're only 27 days away. We've got some additions to the roster that I can talk about now. One is Alfred Smith. He is a wide receiver. He's a transfer from Utah. We recruited him out of high school. He transferred in here. He is a true freshman right now. He will be ineligible to play this year. He will have to sit this year, but he will have 4 years of eligibility after this. So he will be one. Bobby Holly from Farmerville is coming in. I believe there's four new faces, new walk-ons that will be first-time players in our program coming in. So we've got a couple additions. We do have some deletions as well. I normally talk about this one time during the year, so some of these may be a little bit redundant, but a guy like Jabari Pruitt, who graduated at the end of last season, was able to secure a job and to move on for his professional career. Michael Jacob, Tucker Etheridge, Taiwan Walters, and Solomon Hunter are all transferring and will not be in the program this year. And then out of the, I believe it was 20 out of the 24 freshmen, Jamarian Johnson did not meet the academic standards he needed to meet and will not be with the program in the fall. There are 99 names right now on the roster for reporting, 99 names, which gives us one more spot to bring somebody in with where we are, but we wanted to save that rather than just rush to it. Couple things, there will be, I know at least one and probably more as we go through camp, but Michael Mims, who is a walk-on from West Monroe, will be going on scholarship. This is going into his third year in the program. He redshirted his first year, played an integral part for us last year on special teams, played a huge role late in the season with some of the linebackers being ineligible, and the guy just... he does everything you ask him to do, and he's going to be a main part of this football team. Definitely the Dirty Dozen, but will help us on defense as well, and he will be going on scholarship. The schedules, we get into this, the football schedule, the actual games is going to be a challenge for us. We've got to be playing at a high level early. We start with Southern, like I said, which is only 27 days away. Southern ended up being a 9-4 football team last year. They won their last seven games of the season. Will be a great challenge for us, and we're certainly not in a position right now with a new football team and a couple new starters to overlook anybody. And so we're going to have to be playing well there, and then we are going to be tested on a four-day week playing on Thursday night at Western Kentucky, who is the team that's picked by many to win Conference USA this year, picked to win the West and picked to win Conference USA. So that will be a challenge for us as a conference game. And then we get to go to Kansas State, who was 7-2 in the Big 12 last year. They only lost to TCU and Baylor in conference. I know Bill Snyder does a great job with that program and with that team, and that'll be a heck of a challenge for us going on the road for Game 2 and Game 3. And then we come back and play our second conference game in our first four games, which is... not really common. You'd like to play your four non-conference games to get ready for your conference games, but with the way the schedule plays out, we'll play two of our first four are going to be conference games. And with a couple of the new faces and trying to build the depth of this football team, that will be our biggest challenge, is really trying to get this team ready to play and find our identity early as we get into camp and make sure that we're rolling at a high level when we start the season. Practices will be open for the first 5 days. For the first 5 days, practices will be open. I would suggest you find the practice time before you come, because they're going to constantly be changing. Like I said, we were supposed to go at 3:30 tomorrow, and now we're going to go at 7 o'clock with the, I think it was called excessive heat warning, which is out by the Weather Channel, so from 1 to 7. So we're going to try and avoid that. Hopefully a storm's supposed to come through here Tuesday and cool it off a little bit so we can get back onto a normal schedule, but we'll play that by ear as we go through it. After that, we'll have some practices open. I'm not trying to keep anybody out at the same point in time. I think it's important to our team that we're able to start to get into our game plans and some of the things that we're trying to do to get this football team ready to play the season. So what questions could I ask? What questions could I answer for anybody? I've asked enough.
Continuing on the roster talk, scholarship number 85 total, what number are y'all sitting at right now?
I think we're at about 83. I think.
Which is better than where you were when you got here?
Oh, yeah. When we got here, we were at 78. Well, we have been, you're allowed 85 scholarships by NCAA rule, but when 33 walked out, you're only allowed to have 25 initials a year. So when 33 walked out, we were at 77 scholarship players, 78 scholarship players year one. Last year, I ended up putting six players on scholarship, and it still only got us to 82. And I think right now we're at 83, but have the ability to go to 84 unless we put another walk on scholarship.
And then another one, Donald Freeman, originally, I know y'all was a gray shirt. Is he full-blown?
He is brought in with the freshman. He came in for the summer, was admitted during summer. When we had originally signed him, we were looking at our linebacker numbers, and we were getting full in recruiting. So told him that we'd like to bring you in fall camp, but if we don't have a number, then we'll definitely bring you as a gray shirt. And it worked out. The numbers worked out with some of these other young men making the decision to leave the program. It opened a scholarship in that number and gave him the ability to come in the summer. So he's been here from the beginning.
Probably the biggest question mark as far as depth chart goes would have to be your backup's corners.
Mm-hmm.
What have you heard from your true freshman? I know you haven't been able to see him.
Right.
What's the initial response from their teammates and from Kurt?
We'll get a lot better feeling after the first week, kind of on where those three are. But we brought all three of them here. You know, you've got Roland Dunn, who's been in the program, and then you brought in three freshmen who were looking to make an impact. We're looking to come in and create some depth for us. You've got a couple guys that are at safety. We have six DBs total that we brought in with this class, which is a lot for four positions. But we brought in six, and really probably four of them could play corner. And if we have to move a guy like Jackson out to corner, if he becomes the best one. But we're not going to do anything until after about the first 4 days when we get through this five-day acclimatization period, and then we'll make some decisions on who we're going to put where when we get a better idea to look at him. But Kurt was very high on the freshman class, just their work ethic, the way they came in, the way they worked together, the way they're doing things. Freshmen come in kind of with, you know, big eyes, like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But they are they're a pretty neat class. I'm really looking forward to getting on the field with them, watching them play.
Yeah, Bobby Holly, I know that that's a new name. What kind of role do you see him playing down the road? He's a big body, I know.
He is a big body. We brought him in. He's kind of, I mean, he could be a fullback. I mean, you look at him, he's about a 230-pound, 6'1", 6'2", 230-pound body right now. Could be a tight end, an H-back, a fullback-type body, and we're excited to have him in the program.
Going back to secondary, for all these young guys coming in, is it kind of a crash course for them this year, knowing that, you know, next year you're not going to have the stars that you have there, and they're going to have a role in 2016?
Well, the crash course becomes they're one play away from starting. You know, I mean, you could go out there at some point in time during camp and have an ankle and one of those guys was walking out on that field at Southern as your starting corner. That's why I said depth is so important. I think when you're trying to evaluate, to me, a football team is everybody's trying to pick, you know, who's going to win conferences, and everybody goes through the projections. I think it goes a lot deeper than just, as I said, those starting 22, because I've never had a year yet where I've had 22 starters make it through the season. You just don't know what position it's going to be that may have the injury bug. And so that's why I think it's going to be really important for those guys. There's a great chance for all three of them to play this year, because it's not just as a corner, but it could also be on special teams. But if they're ready to play, they're definitely going to have the opportunity to step on the field as a freshman. And then, as you said, then it goes into your long term, where a year from now, you're going to find out if you've got two guys in that mix that can become the starters, or if you have to go out and maybe open your eyes for a transfer or a junior college player in recruiting for next year.
How quickly would y'all like to have that offensive line solidified? I know you've got probably 7 or 8 guys that can play five positions. How quickly do you want to have those 5 down?
You know, I'd love to have it finalized by our first scrimmage, which is the 22nd, and that'll give us 2 weeks of those starting 5 guys really working together. But there's some things that we have to look at and some things that we have to move around. I think, you know, it's a comforting feeling to have Kirby Wixon back for his second year at center. This is the first year that I've been here that we've had a returning center, and that's huge when you don't have to have your quarterbacks be half gymnasts to take a snap back there, you know, with them flying all over the field. So I think that creates some stability right there in the middle. And then you've got some guys that have played. Daryl Brown, Jens Danielson. You know, you got some guys that have been there. Josh Robinson played tackle at the end of the year, has also played some guard for us if he has to come inside. Guys like David Mahaffey have had a great summer, done some really good things. Shane Carpenter looks great. I'm really excited to see the progress that he's made from the spring until now, just really absorbing what we're trying to do as an offense, because when you look at it physically, he definitely has the talent. And then there's 3 freshmen in that group right now that every one of them can walk in that door and they look the part. You know, it's just, are they going to be ready to kind of pick it all up mentally? So I'd like to give the incoming freshmen about a week to 10 days to start learning the offense, to see what they can really do, and then start to make some final decisions after that first scrimmage on August 22nd, where at that point I'd like to have our depth chart pretty much set. Well, coming out of spring, when you look at the numbers, I've said this from the beginning, I love what Ryan Higgins has done. I love the progress that he's made. I think he's developed. I think he's getting to the point. We got a heck of a battle, you know, going on. But coming out of spring ball, when you looked at the numbers with interceptions, protecting the ball, and all the things included, I thought through the 15 days of body of work, I thought that he deserved that opportunity. He came here. He competed for it. I think he really impressed me in trying to develop that leadership at that position. But I will say this too. I feel like quarterback may be one of the deeper positions we have on this team, not only when you look first to second, because I feel like really we've got 2 quarterbacks that we could go play with. But when I look at the 3 freshmen, when I look at the talent of a Price Wilson and just the way Jamar Smith handles himself, I'm really excited to see what he can do running this offense. And Alex Woodall has been here for a year and a half, and I haven't seen him throw a football yet as a quarterback. So, I mean, I know he's big and athletic, but I'm really excited to see that, because you look at it, we could have a couple guys there that have some depth, but that's why I felt like it was important. I felt like he had earned it, and I felt like it was important as a transfer coming in to go ahead and make that determination and then go in knowing exactly what we're handling. And I cannot tell you how proud I am of Ryan Higgins and the way he's handled the situation and the way he's handled himself in putting this team first, because he could moan, groan, complain, and say, I'm leaving. But instead, he's like, what do I got to do? I got to get better then. He knows he's going to get his opportunity, and I promise you, when he gets it, he's going to make the most of it.
Give me my second walk-on question. I'm going to set a record, but Nolan Dunnigan, he's got a legacy here with his dad, Matt.
He does.
Being a heck of a quarterback. Whenever you met Nolan, do you immediately know who his dad was?
I was told who his dad was. But, I mean, he's a great-looking young man. I mean, I'm really excited to get him in the program, and I'm excited that he wants to be part of it. And as a upperclassman, it's kind of like what we went through a year ago, bringing a baseball player in at the end at the quarterback. But we have a need for tight ends. We have a big need for tight ends, and when you look at his body size and athleticism and what he can do, I think he's a guy that right now we don't know a lot about, but I'm excited to have him in camp because he could be one of those guys that could climb up the ladder in a hurry, and you could start to hear a lot more about him. He comes in here with 1 year to play. He's excited about it. He's determined. And so I think he's going to come in here kind of on a mission, so I'm excited to see what he can do, but a great young man.
Is he the lone Canadian?
I feel pretty comfortable going out on that limb and saying yes. Yes.
You touched on the schedule, but how does it compare your feeling of how the big top at the time last year? Going into it with the Oklahoma.
Home and Auburn.
And Auburn on the slate. No, you have Western Kentucky in week two, but it seems it's a little bit. Not as scary as it was last year.
Well, you have two teams last year that were both preseason top five, and you're opening the season at Oklahoma, and we had so many new faces last year. You know, I mean, so many guys that were really stepping in for the first time, playing their first college football game, and definitely playing their first game at Louisiana Tech was at Oklahoma, and that's not exactly the place you want to go cut your teeth as a quarterback taking your first snap of college football. So, yeah, from a non-conference schedule for those two giants, so to speak, that we're playing, I still think, you know, Mississippi State is probably as good as they've been in a long time right now, having a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback and the success that they had last year. It certainly isn't going to be easy. And then going to Kansas State, like I said, I mean, they beat Oklahoma last year, you know, when you look at it, and they lost to Auburn right at the end in a really close football game. So I still think they're two really good football teams. I just think the challenge for us is going to be Western Kentucky, second game of the year on the road, having to play them in a short week is going to be a challenge, and you're going to have to be playing well because everything that we talk about and everything we play for here, we talk about the conference. We talk about Conference USA, the West Division, and what we're trying to do, and we're going to have to be there early this year.
How do you see the linebacker situation playing out?
Right now, I'm excited to get Nick back. Nick Thomason, who has had, in the last 2 years, has had two shoulder surgeries, had his both labrums repaired. So this has been the first off season that he's had since he's been here. So I'm excited to see him healthy because even when he played last year in a limited role, he's playing with one arm. And so I think for the first time, he's going into a season healthy. I'm excited to see him. Bo Feed is doing right now. I think Bo Feed has a chance to have a really special year. I've been really impressed with the spring he had, the development he had. He's played his role. He's waited to be a starter. He's waited to be a leader, and I think he's making the most of it. I think Bo Feed will have an outstanding year, and I see those two guys kind of in the middle. Ryan Ferris is another guy as a freshman last year, started at safety, moved to Sam, moved over to Will, keeps moving closer to the ball, but he's shown a lot of promise in what he's doing in the spring as well. And then there's four freshman linebackers that just came in this year as freshmen. You've got Michael Mims, you've got C.J. Cleveland, who's been injured and missed most of spring. So I'm excited to see kind of how all those pieces are going to fit into the two deep as we get into all the scrimmages.
Running back's got to be one of your other deeper positions. I know Kenneth Dixon goes without saying.
Yes, yes.
I don't see Tyron Walters having an omission, or is he gone?
Oh, no, he was one of the ones that I thought I mentioned him. He was,
you may have him.
Okay, he was one of the ones that's not going to be back. But when you look at, you know, I look at Blake Martin right now, that I think Blake Martin is a talent. And I think, I mean, you sit there and look at what Jared Kraft has done as a true freshman last year coming into the program, the role that he took on when Kenneth would get nicked or going into a game late. I thought he keeps getting better and better. And he's one of those guys, he's not flashy in everything. He is just really solid in everything he does. And I would say the same is true with Blake, and if we had to start with any three of those, any one of those three, I would feel like we had a very talented running back. And then you got guys like Marlon Seitz and Ricky Jones that kind of play that one back, fullback, tailback role for us that could fill a role if we needed them to. And the other guy back there that really makes me feel comfortable is a guy named Boston Scott. Boston, when he came out here as a true freshman, was like, wow. I mean, as a walk-on, we said then, that young man, he's going to earn a scholarship here. He's got some talent. And then he got injured and missed a year. And now he's just now starting to get back again. And I know he's battling away, and he's battling in there. And two seniors a year from now, those two seniors are going to walk out. And I think Boston will be in that mix. But I really like the top three that we have right now.
So So all that being said, is it nice to have a guy like Jacquees Dancy come in who's so talented and you've got the opportunity to possibly redshirt?
Well, either redshirt or play more two backs. I'm predicated when he gets in here. And that's part of what we do, the how multiple we are as an offense, is having the ability not only to get maybe eye backs with a fullback tailback, but to have the ability to put two backs in the backfield at the same time. And we started doing it a little bit more later in the season, probably starting at about UAB on. We use Carlos Henderson in the backfield a little bit. We use Blake Martin. We use Jared Kraft, kind of with the zone reads and the options coming off of it and some of that stuff. And also something we didn't do a lot of just because of the depth, but you're feeling more and more comfortable with it, is running a little bit more split back and being able to do some different things, highlighting the number of running backs we have. But I think you've got to look at it and say, is your second running back better than your fourth receiver? And if your second running back's better than your fourth receiver, you need to be a little bit more in two backs. And if Jacquees Dancy comes in and can give us that fifth tailback to give us enough depth to really get into a little bit more of a two-back offense, then it's something you're going to see a little bit more of.
And then last year, Cody wasn't exactly a speed demon.
No.
But now you have Jeff Driscoll, who's a big body and could be considered a speed demon.
Jeff runs well, and I mean, that's not a secret. You can put on the last 3 years of Florida and watching him running around, and he is athletic and he's big and he's fast. He can run. He runs very well, and he adds a added dimension to our offense we didn't have a year ago. Now, I will say this: Cody Sokol could sit in the pocket, but he knew where everybody was and he could get rid of it in a hurry, and he avoided sacks. I think we were one of the top teams in the conference in giving up sacks, and a large part of that was not Cody's mobility, but his ability to get rid of the ball and find open receivers and use his mind. I'm hoping that we have that as well with Jeff, but also have the added dimension of him in the running game. And when you can start talking about these two-back sets with a quarterback that always has the ability to run out the backside, I think can create a lot of problems for defenses. You know, we did not bring Jeff here to be a runner. As I've said, I mean, we recruited, you know, when you start talking about Kenneth and Blake and Jared Kraft and those tailbacks to be the guys to carry the ball. But if he can, with some of the zone read stuff, if he can pull the ball down and keep defenses honest and carry it a handful of times a game, then I would think that that would be exactly what we're looking for out of Jeff. It's not going to be a thing where Jeff's going to be running, you know, 25 called runs for our quarterback. But it's definitely a dimension that you'll see a little bit more of than you did a year ago.
Will the offense change much with him?
Yes and no. You'll highlight different things with it. I mean, the terminology and the base formations, it'll look very similar. But some of the things that you do, instead of trying to block a backside end, you'll read a backside end. I mean, there's different ways to do it, but it will remain pretty much the same. You'll just maybe see some formation changes and maybe a little bit more with the two backs, as we talked about a minute ago. But there will be more options for him to run the ball than we had a year ago.
What's it like to have finally a healthy Paul Turner?
I'm excited, you know, get us through camp. I mean, he has had the surgery at the end of the season, progressed along nicely. I mean, the biggest thing with Paul, we got to keep pulling back. You know, getting into 4 2-a-days in camp, as grueling as it becomes, we just got to make sure we're smart with them. It will probably be, I would imagine, hopefully it's about 5 steps forward, 1 step back. You know, I mean, where we're making strides, being 9 months into the recovery of the surgery. But I would think that there's maybe some days we may have to shut him down, you know, shut him down and not let him run today, just to make sure that when it starts to get sore, pull back a little bit so we don't put him in a position where he's going to injure it further or do something that's going to make it a lingering injury for the rest of the year.
I know Coach Baker was on the staff with Coach Diaz last year. Will there be any differences between the schemes this year and last year?
No, not really. I say not really. I mean, the base of it will be the same. Obviously, it won't be to a T. There are some wrinkles that we kind of played with a little bit. When you go back and you watch your film and you see what some other people are doing and you visit some other coaches and other schools and you see some of the wrinkles they're putting in, we'll add some of that. But the base of it, I would say 80% of it will be very similar to how we did things a year ago. Now, saying that, I mean, after 12 games, people still don't know what we did last year. I mean, because of all the different looks that we give and how multiple we are with it. But I think that the system, with having that kind of like that wild card position, you know, that can be a Houston Bates, can be a rush end, can drop into coverage, can be a stand-up linebacker, can do some different things, can take a very conventional defense and make it very unconventional in a hurry. It's kind of like what a long time ago I watched Willie McGinnis with Southern Cal when I was at Notre Dame and we used to play him. And, you know, they were moving him all over the place. And, I mean, the game was over and you're still trying to figure out what they were doing because they had so many different looks. But from it will be the same and that it will be different. How's that?
What you talking about the freshman class coming in the fall camp, being wide-eyed, how important will it be for your upperclassmen to take over, like, you know, Trent Taylor and Dixon?
That's part of the process. Freshmen are freshmen all over the country. They're going in all over the country. A lot of them are going to have the opportunity to play, and some of them are going to have the luxury to be able to redshirt. But one of the programs that we installed here is a Big Brother program where every one of the freshmen will be given an upperclassman to be his big brother. And it's something that's, you know, there's some people that say, oh, yeah, this is my big brother, and then, you know, you don't do anything with it. But we do meals with it, meetings with it. They got to learn a little bit about their brother, introduce their brother, things like that, just trying to bring them in. We're not a hazing program. We have new additions. We have newcomers. But as I tell the upperclassmen, too, that, I mean, we're going to need the freshmen to get to where we want to be. We're going to need some of these guys to step up and play, and I don't know exactly which ones it's going to be, but we need to bring them into the team as quick as we can. And then I tell the freshmen, I mean, we didn't bring you here for us to become you. We brought you here to become us, to learn how we do things, and we have a particular way we do things, and respecting the guys that are already here, because as I tell the freshmen, they're walking in now, but we had a team meeting in January talking about this football season. I mean, that's when this season started, so they're kind of getting on the ride halfway through. So right now, just come in, be humble, work hard, and see if you can find a role in this football team for the 2015 season. And I think the upperclassmen, they get it. I mean, they get it and they understand it. The culture right now that we have on this team with a lot of the upperclassmen, when you talk about just Trent and Paul and Connor Smith and a Jeff Driscoll, and we talked about the running backs with a Kenneth Dixon and a Blake Martin and an Xavier Woods and Kentrell Bryce and Bo Feet and Dora and Butler. I mean, you go through it. We got a lot of guys that have played a lot of football that have been around here that understand what Louisiana Tech football is all about and how we're trying to build it. And I think they'll do a great job as mentors and big brothers to these freshmen that are coming in.
Last year, Carlos had, you know, he flashed in some games, keyword emphasis there. Other players that flashed like him, who might you be looking at in terms of them making that next step to be able to do it over a 12-game season and not just in spurts?
You know, that's hard, and I say it's hard. There will be guys, like I look at Deldrick Canty. I think Deldrick Canty as a defensive end will have an opportunity to really be a special player. But it's going to be the first time he's played a major role as a starter. Is he ready to play every snap, 12 games at a high level? I don't know. I mean, hopefully Carlos Henderson's matured a little bit more as a football player and he's ready to be that player week in and week out. But a lot of that comes with maturity, and it's just hard to say who's going to be able to handle it, because it's a pretty tough thing to determine until you put him out there on the field and in the lights out there in the stadium. But I think there's some good young players at redshirt. I talk about Shane Carpenter, who I think has a chance to really step in and play a major role. I think a guy like Connor Smith will play a bigger role than he has. Deldrick Canty, Jalen Ferguson are two defensive ends that I think will be heard from. So I think there's a couple young guys that I'm excited about watching how far they've progressed and developed since spring practice.
Defensive line's position we haven't talked about much. When you lost probably your biggest playmaker on defense there last season. Mm-hmm. I know you don't necessarily replace a Houston Bates.
Right.
How do you feel about that group as a whole and your two deep going forward?
When you look at ends, I think we have three ends that have proven to me through spring practice that they're getting there. I mean, obviously you have a guy like Vontarius Dora on the other side, but then Deldrick Canty and Jalen Ferguson are going to have some pretty big holes to fill. You've got guys, you got the two freshmen in Brinson and Turner coming in here, and then you've got a guy like Matthew Udarga, who was a walk-on last year, who sat out, who kind of made some inroads in the spring and did some good things. So I think you've got kind of three known guys and maybe three unknown players there, but I think there's the talent is there, and the same thing on on the defensive line. I really like, obviously, you can't say enough about Vernon Butler and what he brings to the table. But having guys like Aaron Brown, who played for us last year, and then you put Cedric Johnson, who sat last year, you put Tyler Porter in that mix, who was in there, and then you've got a couple more freshmen that are coming in at the defensive line position that I think are going to have an opportunity. Like I said, you've got a Butler and a Brown that have played, and then you've got about six guys. None of them have played in a college game yet, and we're just going to have to see how that is going to play out. But when you're trying to find two or three and you have six, I feel pretty good that we'll find three out of that group with the talent level that's there. It's just who's going to rise up and be ready to learn the defense and hold a gap and understand, you know, that it's not just running to the ball and making a play. I mean, you fit into a system, and who can learn the defense. And so I think there's enough bodies there, but the D-line and the depth there is going to be one of the things that are going to be played out over the first 2 weeks.
So would it be fair to say that you've talked about the number twos are really what this fall's about? Would it be fair to say that maybe corner is your biggest question mark going into camp?
Yeah, depth at corner would be the biggest question mark because you have freshmen there. I mean, true freshmen there. But I also look at the defensive ends, you know, how those guys are going to play, the defensive line, how those guys are going to, the linebackers, how that's going to, I mean, it's almost like we got three linebackers, we got three D tackles, we got three D ends, we got three corners, and then who's going to round out? Because what you'd like to have is every position you want to go into the season with a pair and a spare. That's what we call it. You want to be two deep, and you want to have a third D. You want to have a third D end or a fifth D end that could play either side. You want to have a fifth tackle that could play either side. So out of your top four defensive linemen, we're looking for 10 that are going to be on the bus, that are going to be on your travel list. And who is that travel list going to be? And that's the same at corner. You know, you'd like to find five corners. You'd like to find five safeties, and we're walking in here with three. You know, I feel really good about, well, four. When you got Grogan and you got Cedric Cooper and you got Kentrell Bryce and Xavier Woods, who's going to be that fifth? And those are going to be the questions that are going to be answered. And there'll be a lot of questions to be answered on the depth come out August 22nd when we have that first scrimmage.
That third linebacker spot, is that just mid between Mims and Cleveland, or is there anyone else in the mix?
Well, there's a lot of options there. You can get into nickel and move a Grogan down there and play nickel defense, and he could be that Sam. You've got Michael Mims could play it. You've got C.J. Cleveland could play it. Out of the freshmen, there's a couple freshmen. We're going to find out who could be a Will, a Mike, and a Sam. And really, the Sam position is just a remove linebacker with all the spread offenses that you play now. And a lot of people go to nickel. If you can find that guy, for us last year was to Terrell Penson, you know, that could be an in-the-box linebacker but also be a space linebacker. And if you could find that, that would be the best of both worlds. But if not, you may have to, you know, play a nickel and play with five defensive backs and play an extra safety, but then you need more depth at safety. So we'll have a couple options for that, but there will be a number of guys in the competition for that Sam position.
Is Grogan going to stay at safety, or any chance you move him to linebacker?
No, he's going to be a safety, but if we move him, it'll be that nickel line. You know what I mean? It'll be like more of a fifth defensive back more than it will be. We're asking him to go to Will linebacker and sit in the box and play a 4-2 linebacker. We're not doing that. We're not going to move him into the box. We'll look at maybe playing a little bit of nickel with him, but I think when you look at his body size and type, he's definitely a prime candidate to fill that role.
Coach, this might be a little bit of a reach, but with the having two quarterbacks transfer in over the last 2 years, do you think maybe there's some hesitation from recruits coming in, seeing that you brought in these guys from other programs? Maybe there's a little bit of a hesitance from guys coming in at the freshman level. I might not get my shot, you know, even right. Work my way up. They'll just be in competition anyway.
We've been very clear about that. To get out of the hole we were in when we came at the quarterback position, really having a freshman in Ryan Higgins, was that we were either going to have to take a junior college player or two at the quarterback position that could be here 2 years, or we were going to have to look at taking two freshmen. And we didn't like what was out there from a junior college standpoint a year ago, so we took Cody Sokol. We looked at, do you take a junior college player this year? And I liked what showed up with Jeff Driscoll. And so after, I'm not trying to be quarterback transfer you. It was what we were looking to, how do we get out of a difficult situation? because really the only upperclassman quarterback we've had, you had Ryan Higgins, was a redshirt freshman and a redshirt sophomore the first 2 years we've been here. And when you look behind even a Jeff Driscoll and a Ryan Higgins this year, you're going to have three freshmen. When you look at Price Wilson and you look at Alex Woodall and Jamar Smith. So we're going to have two upperclassmen and three freshmen, and ask Ohio State how important that third quarterback was, you know, and stepping into a season. And so I think, as I talked to Ryan about it, I think to be fair to this football team, we needed to bring another upperclassman into it. But when you look at a year from now, you're going to have Ryan's a senior, you're going to have two redshirt sophomores and a redshirt freshman, and I feel a lot better about the depth at quarterback at that position. So it's not a thing where we're trying to make that our MO, and that's how we're going to build this program over the next 10 years. When I look at Jamar Smith and the talent that he has and the type of athleticism he has, being drafted in, from the professional baseball draft, deciding to come to college, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. And Price is a young talent. And then with some of the feedback we've got from the high school recruits, I don't see that right now, that we can't get a young quarterback. Some of the young quarterbacks we have, maybe some of the more talented ones we have, I'm just not sure they're ready to play, and I'm not ready to put this team on the shoulders of a freshman quarterback.
Kenneth had around, I think, 37 catches last year, give or take, almost 40. Do we expect that going forward where he'll be at least like that floor, to like get involved
yes.
with him in the passing game, or do you want to involve him in more than you did so last year?
I'd like to see it go up a little bit. I'd like to see him catch a few more. I'd like to see him have somewhere between 40 and 50 catches as a running back out of the backfield. I think he's one of your best athletes, and when you can get him the ball in open space is a good coaching move. That's when people say he's a good coach. Look, he threw it to that guy, and he ran 80 yards. So I would like to see us get him the ball more in open field.
How important is it whenever y'all are recruiting running backs for them to be able to catch?
It's certainly an advantage. I mean, it's certainly because it gives them a whole nother dimension. I said Chris Johnson, when we had Chris, he was our second leading receiver 3 years in a row, I believe it was, and we utilized him quite a bit. But I think it's all predicated on your offensive line. If you can get him the ball and get him into the open space, being able to hand it to him, our completion percentage is higher on handoffs than it is throwing. So if we got to hand it to him to get him the ball, but if I can't get him in open space that way, then we're going to have to be able to spread him out and utilize him a little bit more in the passing game. And it was something that we started doing more last year, and it's something I think we'll continue to do. I'd like to see him more involved in the passing game.
Will you still be calling the plays this year?
I will.
Coach, I will. Deion Sanders said, when you look good, you play good. You guys, you know, y'all look good last year. You won a hard Dallas Bowl. You know,
yep.
you got the new South End Zone.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
It's a new morale. What do you think the morale for the guys is right now?
I think morale and culture, I think, right now is I got to kind of keep pinching myself and saying, you know what, Just bring it down. Let's just bring it down a little bit, because there's a lot of energy right now. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of excitement. I think with the success we had last year, especially against the bowl teams that we played, I think the players love the white helmets and the look, and the unis look really good. There's a brand new turf out there. There's a brand new South End Zone. I think what they're doing to their bodies and the way they're changing the body and the difference that Kurt Hester's making in them, I think they feel like they're getting better. They're in the same offense and the same defense for 2 years in a row, which is the first time any of them have done that. I mean, there's just a lot of things right now that are helping build that morale and that culture, and it's creating a lot of excitement and a lot of enthusiasm. And right now, with some of the name players that are returning that play a key role for us, we're getting a lot of attention. When you look at the number of players that are receiving national watch list recognition, when you look at the Kenneth Dixon on Doak Walker, and you look at, you know, on the, you've got Xavier Woods, there was a Darius Barnes, Vernon Butler, I saw Carlos Henderson was on the Paul Horning list. I mean, there's I think there was about eight players that were on watch list, and I think for the first time, somebody told me for the first time we got votes preseason, which is the first time that's happened. I don't know, I'm not going to say ever, because ever is a long time, but what it was told me, first time in a long time we've gotten votes in the preseason. So I just think, you know, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, but I promise you the expectations in that locker room are a lot higher than they are outside. I mean, but I keep saying this, that as you build a program, you got to learn how to win. And when you're hungry and you're fighting from the bottom and you're the underdog, it's easy to have desire and pride and fight. But the key to this season to me is going to be how mature are we and how do we handle winning. Because once you learn how to win, you got to learn how to handle winning. You got to learn how to be the favorite. You got to learn how to carry that swag with you, not just because you're the underdog, but even when you're the favorite as well. And we'll learn a lot about this football team, but it's definitely going to be a different season than we had a year ago, where I would imagine, I don't know what those numbers are, but I would imagine that we went into the season into a game as underdogs more than we went in as favorites, or as my daughter calls it, we were underdogs more than we were overdogs, going into our games last year. I think this year we'll probably be favored in a few more games, and it's going to be interesting to see how we handle it when you get the bullseye on your chest. Thank you all very much. Thank you. It's going to be an exciting year.
Thanks,
and we'll see everybody tomorrow at some